Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back, and it's now or never. You know, as we start moving forward, it's starting to really come out how many people that have just taken their oath of office do not realize and have no understanding of the legal obligation. So one of the things that we need to do, and I'm requesting that as you start getting involved in this, one of the first things you need to ask for prior to them even petitioning them, you need to ask them for their certification or copies of their legal oath, you know, the documentation of their legal oath, who witnessed it, who performed it, all of that information. Because there's usually a little certificate, this little book that they, you know, write in a ledger, and you should be able to get a copy of all of that. Because the reason why that's important is because that's a legal document that every public servant is required to perform this very specific duty before they can take office. They cannot step in or sit in any chair until they have taken that oath. So why is that? Why is it so that we, the people, vote for somebody? Why can't they just take that chair? Because the people have empowered them. Because we are a Republican form of government, and that means that we're a government that is based on the rule of law. And so what we're going to be doing, and this is kind of interesting because it's actually unfolding right now in Wyoming. We've got county commissioners that really believe that they can sidestep the Constitution and get away with it in Wyoming. Now, when you look at the electorate in most all of the counties, I'm not going to mention the county at this point in time, I will. But when you look at the electorate, when they find out that you as a public servant refuse to do and fulfill your oath of office, when this is something that you should be doing, you should not be sitting there idly whittling your, you know, fiddling your fingers, doing regular business when we're in the middle of a crisis. When the state of Wyoming is reeling from the illegal invaders that are actually residing inside that state, from some of the laws and some of the partnerships, unconstitutional partnerships the United States is engaged in by joining the UN and having these other alliances, unconstitutional alliances with other polities. So anyway, let me kind of bring it down a little bit so I'm not talking so loud. So we're going to start going through some of this stuff, and I'm actually going to do a part of this today because it'll help you, because then you kind of understand, you know, what you get to go through. Because, and don't look at this, you know, some people look at resistance as really a bad thing. Now, when you have to trim your dogs or you have to do something that an animal doesn't understand why you're doing it, does that mean, oh, well, they don't want me to do it, they're giving me resistance, I can't do it? Are you willing to let that animal die because they don't understand? Or have you not developed that relationship that, you know, you take care of them and that they will submit? Because, you know, as a master in that relationship, you have that responsibility. Now, we have public servants, and we, the people, are the masters of our public servants, along with our Constitution. Our Constitution puts a legal framework around them that says you have to function in this very specific capacity. So you can count on the fact that they're going to be very resistant. As a matter of fact, folks, we have undomesticated politicians throughout America. That's the problem. You know, and what I mean by that is that they're wild. They're out of control. They do not understand the framework of the Constitution, which is why they're running around doing all the things that they're doing, and they have no idea they're violating the Constitution. So that's really, really important to help place context all this. So let me get into this after I do some obligatories, because I haven't been doing the obligatories very much lately. And I need to actually go through, because we're going to weed out some of the promos that we're doing, and we want to put in some new promos. And so that's going to take me some time, because this is the busiest time of year to do it. Maybe I should have done it, but there's never a good time. This is why I need help. There's never a good time to do this, because there's always something that, you know, becomes, I think the only time is right before the election, when, you know, you're just so far into critical mass that, you know, you just have to wait for the outcome. And so that may have been the time, but it didn't seem like it, because it didn't seem like I had much time at that point. And with the legislation sessions going and starting, and with the possibility of my actually traveling or speaking virtually into a couple state houses, then that, you know, that's something that I've got to find out. And I'm sitting on a wire with that. But anyway, what we want to do is we want to do some cleanup on the promos and so forth. And we'll get back to those promos and start pushing them out again when we get them updated. But we still have the old ones there, so that's what we're going to be doing. Let me just do this. One of the things that I deal with on the side, because it happens quite a bit, because people realize that they haven't necessarily hedged all their bets. In other words, I know lots of really smart people, and many of them are in really good positions. They have a savings. They have, they've taken care of some things. And so some people, you know, want to actually see if they've covered everything, covered all their bases or what have you. Now, one of the things I will recommend, and I would probably, you know, say that it would be in your best interest to have some spare old phones. And what you can do is you can actually go out online and you can find, there's a website called Swappa, and you can go there and buy, you know, the exact phone that you have. As a matter of fact, you can buy a really old phone if you want, because most all of them take the current SIM card that you use in your current phone. And you can, you know, go backwards instead of using a 5G phone. If you don't know, start looking up and investigating 5G, 5G phones, 5G network. You need to prepare yourself, because just don't walk down the path of, oh, well, it's time to upgrade. I still have to work with Verizon on figuring out why my cell phone isn't working anymore as of the beginning of the year. Maybe it's failing. Maybe it's truly failing, because I have other phones that are able to connect to the network. And so if that's the case, then it's time for me to go to my next phone. But because it's, what, 7-8 years old, but I've never heard of a cell phone just not being able to connect to the network. Could be, but anyway. So I've got to check that out. But one of the things that you may need to have, and believe it or not, folks, I don't know if they're going to be available down the road, but something that is absolutely worth having are burner phones. And what I mean by a burner phone is you can go and buy, for less than $100, you can have yourself a phone that you can use for communicating with other people and or connecting with them. And so but you have to have an initial point in contact or phone number or what have you to be able to connect, because if both of you are, you know, refitting to a new phone number, then it is what it is. It's the nature of the beast. But if you need to be able to make phone calls and all of a sudden, you know, they've shut down your phone, then having a spare phone, because communications is critical. Don't downplay having a spare burner phone. What you do is you get yourself a phone and you get yourself, and you can buy, you know, like a track phone, and you can buy yourself, you know, 2-3 months for, you know, unlimited calls, unlimited texts, and that will get you through the hump of, you know, transitioning from that to, and having a few of those things probably would be good, because they're probably only going to go up in cost. And down the road, if they're doing it in China, if they're doing it in California, they're going to do it where you live. And so down the road, there's a good likelihood that everybody's going to be given, you're going to be issued your phone. This is going to be how you communicate and how they're going to keep track of you, because that's exactly what they do in China. What do you think is not going to happen here? They're already putting up this, you know, facial recognition camera networks in California and other states to monitor you. So don't tell me it's not going to happen here. They're already exposing. If you want to know what's going to go on and how it's going to happen, 9 times out of 10, they're deploying it in China and other parts of the world, and you're going to see it come here. It's the inevitable evolution. We're always the last to get involved. And that's just because, you know, they want to get the whole world to accept it. And in that process, they sell this stuff so that the progressives and the idiots in America go, well, that's a good thing. You know, having a phone so that they can keep track of you, that's a really good thing. I mean, how many people love to have, StarTech? And, well, we're going into a break, so I will look it up and we'll be right back.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
OnStar. So OnStar is one of those technology services that they put into your car. Remember, we talked about onboard diagnostics. They went even well beyond that when they started playing with actual communications. And so OnStar is just one of the many technologies that they have. Well, we sense that you had a car accident. Are you okay? Is there something we can do? I mean, people look at that and go, wow, that is such an awesome service. But with that service comes along that level of monitoring that all of a sudden you may not want to have. You may not want that service monitoring on you, because all of a sudden, when you start standing up for your liberties and say, hey, they can't be doing this, and you know, you want to actually exercise your rights, now you're being viewed as an insurgent, and now you're being called as a terrorist, and you'd be put on the terrorist watch list, and they come in and they swoop in and they take you away, and you'll never see the light of day because they've changed the laws where you don't have the right to habeas corpus. You don't have the right to be able to, you know, have a speedy trial. All of your constitutional rights have been scuttled. In other words, they no longer use the Constitution when they deem you a threat. So we have to start being very clear so that the people, this is why using First Amendment petitions with the public is very, very important. We need to be able to actually get the public aware of what's going on, because 9 times out of 10, you know, when you look at a red state and you look at a red county and you go, you know, most of the people in that county do not like to hear about or even see corrupt government. When they look at their county commissioners, their sheriff, you know, their local government, they do not want to hear the fact that they are refusing to do what they're supposed to do, and they're covering up for each other. In other words, your county prosecutor, your county sheriff, and your county commissioners refuse to hold each other accountable to their oath of office. They refuse to do the things that they need to do to represent you by going to the state house. You know, there's no way they're going to win this argument. They may say, oh, well, we're just an administrative, you know, podunk. No, you're not. The counties are not administrative podunks. The counties are what created the states, folks. The counties are the parties to your state constitution. That means that your counties are your, they are the entity that has the oversight over your state constitution and over your state legislature, which means that they have the oversight over whether your state legislature is doing what they should be doing in their oversight responsibilities of the constitution. You know, when people talk about checks and balances in our government, they don't realize how many levels of checks and balances that really exist. They actually skirt over these things. Oh, well, you know, we have checks and balances on each other, and you don't have to worry about us because we're going to work together and making sure that, you know, we're doing good work for you. I mean, that's how ambiguous they like to act, and that's how ambiguous they try to act. Now, what's happened is we had an initial petition calling out, you know, some very specific bills that were violating the Wyoming and U.S. Constitution. We have a copy of this petition that they sent out, and it was, they felt the urgency of getting it done so they could get this launched, which is okay. Regardless of whether it was a clean petition or whether it was just a petition, you know, the work that they did, doesn't really matter what the quality was. It really doesn't. Not that it was bad, not that it was good. Actually, there was some good research in it. I think it was very concise and so forth. There are things that needed to be done in it, but that doesn't matter because none of that is in play. What is in play is that the county commissioners that they presented this petition to in Wyoming, actually, you know, they took it. They had 60%, a majority of the county commissioners concede and say, yeah, we will do this. In other words, 3 out of 5. All of a sudden, they said, you know what, we're not going to do this. They completely backwalked this, and they said, we've confronted our lawyers. We don't have a legal responsibility here. And what they're basically saying is that they don't have a legal obligation to support their oath of office. And so what we're having them do, and this is why this is so important, as you get started, if you have a symbiotic relationship in your county with your county commissioners, then it should not be hostile. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be points in time where your county commissioners are not going to like some of the stuff that they're going to have to do. But that doesn't, it's like business, right? Sometimes you got to let somebody go. Sometimes you have to do something that, you know, some person may have to, you know, suffer a little bit. They're going to lose their job. Well, you know what? That's business, right? I mean, we can't personalize that. I don't know how many of you have ever gone through losing your job, and I know that that's, you know, humbling. I know that there's a whole gamut of emotions involved in that. And I've gone through having to let people go. And I know how hard that is, because this is a person that's, you know, got a family. They need to keep their lights on and feed their family. But there's no business reason, or there are reasons why the business can't keep this person. And so as nice as it is to say, you know, we want to be able to take care of everybody all the time, we can't do that. And these things happen. And so some people personalize this, and they shouldn't. And this is why when you go through, if you've ever gone through training of how to let people go, the first thing you go through is you have to keep your people, the employees, or you have to keep everybody, you know, apprised with the situation. Now, as we start telling people that many of the things that they're doing that is, you know, related to the federal government mandates or what have you, you know, as soon as they find out, you know, these things aren't legitimate, the first thing they should do is they need to go out to, in the county, you know, the forest rangers and all the people working in the county, and say, hey, I'm just going to let you know that, you know, it's come to our attention that these things are bubbling up, that you guys, you know, don't have a position here anymore. You know, you do now, but the day may come when you may not have a position here anymore. And, you know, just to be prepared, because there's evidence that this position you have is illegitimate. And so all of a sudden, this becomes a huge wake-up call. This is going to affect a few million people. Now, when you look at the few million people, let's put this in perspective. If you take I have no idea how many people the federal government is employing. It is a lot of people, folks. But when you take how many people that is, let's just say 20 million, in the magnitude of the population of the United States, 20 million is what fraction of 330 million? It's not even 10%. It's not even 10%, right? 33 million would be 10%. And I don't think the federal government is employing 10%. Now, when you start adding up the people that are on welfare and those types of things, you know, they may be affected, which means, because most people that are on welfare, they're kind of like employees. They're the do-nothing employees that get something for nothing. And when they get told, oh, well, your money may end, you may actually have to start working for money. The states really have the responsibility and start, you know, looking at religious organizations to start trying to create a symbiotic relationship with religious and community organizations to help step in, to help transition folks from the entitlement state, the unconstitutional entitlement state, to a true compassionate services state. Now, these people that feel they're entitled, they feel that they have a constitutional right to that paycheck, you know, they've got another thing coming. It's not there. They don't have the legal right to be able to say, give me money. It's not in our Constitution. So some of the things that I recommend people start reading and exposing themselves to, and one is a very simple book. It's called Who Moved My Cheese? You know, things aren't in concrete. Things, you know, you may be getting some cheese, and that cheese may be free, and that cheese maybe just handed to you because you just filled out some paperwork and that was great and you're living off of the cheese. It's free cheese. But eventually cheese goes away, and that you have to prepare yourself. The problem is nobody does. And so the smart cheese eaters realize that, you know, there's a good potential because this is not legitimate. That this could go away. What am I going to do if this goes away? Because the faster you transition from, you know, eating your free cheese to actually going out and earning your cheese, the faster you will make it into, I'll just say, a survival, you know, position to where you're going to be safe in, you know, providing for you and your family. It's all about accepting. You know, one of the things I told my employees, you know, and my fellow workers, because it comes down to, you know, rats and a sinking ship. And so I'll give you that adage when we come back. We'll be right back after this promo.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we were talking about when he came back from the break, but I didn't get a chance to look it all up. But all the major car players, Chrysler, Ford, and so forth, they have their own version of OnStar. I mean, so I don't know, because I've never followed it, and I didn't care, and I always looked at that as a nefarious service, but I just wanted to go back to that to basically provide the information. Now, I'm sure Toyota has that, and usually they offer that because you have to pay for that. Eventually, and I think currently today, and I'm sure somebody in tech, you know, a gearhead can easily, you know, send me a note and say, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, they have with the onboard diagnostics as of 2018 or something like that, they now, all cars have the ability to be hacked into by law enforcement where they can shut your car down. They can seize full control of your car. Well, now, how is that? The reason I'm bringing this up is, and I've said this before, how is it that that's not, that doesn't violate the Constitution? The Constitution states that all citizens are to be secure in their persons, in their effects, in their households, and so forth. So how is it that they can actually do that and do that to you without getting a judge to authorize the ability to do those things. The fact that they even have that means that the portal is already there. It doesn't mean that government necessarily is doing it. An agent for the government, because if you have a business, you may not be a direct agent, but you are an agent under the government because the government is operating and authorizing you to operate, and they can regulate you, which means that they have oversight over you. There is a direct relationship between government and all businesses. The only business that is not regulated is the family business, where you just do individual income tax and so forth. Anyway, let's get back to this, you know, this concept of, and, you know, trying to remember where I was, of, oh yeah, it, you know, so when we look at this concept of holding people accountable and how, you know, you get to this point where people, you know, feel like they're above the law and they don't have to be held accountable. Well, I'm here to tell you, friends, that the voters will agree. No one wants a corrupt government. They don't want to see the prosecutors not prosecute. What happens? So let's be clear. If you have a public servant, a county commissioner who takes an oath to support the Constitution, and you petition them because they're your local legislator. They have this responsibility, a legal responsibility to support the Constitution. You point out to them that the Constitution is being violated, and you mandate to them that they need to communicate to the state offices, whether that be just the legislature, what have you, that, you know, they... And actually, they need to be the ones petitioning on your behalf. So they basically take your petition and they, on your behalf, they petition the state legislature, the governor, or whomever needs to be petitioned to say, you must act in accordance with the Constitution. See, you're giving them the legal argument. You're laying out this legal argument for them to basically say, look, this is what the Constitution says. This is what's supposed to happen if people start invading. This is what government is supposed to do in response to an invasion. And you are not, or the federal government is not doing it. And you, as the state legislatures, have a responsibility to oversee them and to ensure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. You need to demand that they do their job and or call for a removal of all of Congress. So you put all of these arguments together in these petitions. The bottom line, their obligation is to either try to fight and refute the legitimacy of your constitutional argument, or they have to basically turn that around and follow the parameters that you're asking them to do to make sure that every public servant upstream, however that is notified and gets a commitment and proves that they now are petitioning Congress on your behalf. Bottom line, we have to hold them accountable. This is why the one of the most important parts is the specified actions in the therefore portion of your petition. You want to make sure that you know, when they come back, you can say, did you do this? Did you do this? Okay, you didn't do that. Then why didn't you do that? And so you can actually go through what they did and why they did it to determine whether they are fulfilling their oath of office or not. And you know what? They're going to hate you. They're going to despise the fact that you have this level of control over them. They're going to look at being in office, this, you know, let's just say this nice ride to making the abilities or having the ability to put money in their pocket. They are going to realize it's just not worth it anymore. And as a matter of fact, that's how we clean up government. We have to prove that there's no room in our government for people to, you know, make their lives better by using government, by taking advantage of the hardworking people, their taxes and access and their power over them to make their lot better. That's not the point of becoming a public servant. So anyway, so this is all panning out, and this is actually becoming very, very interesting, because as we've started with this one petition that they actually dropped, we're going to get the second petition now in for this coming week, because they think it's a one, you know, when they think you're just a one issue kind of group, then they, once they've, you know, put away and ignored your issue, then they go, okay, well, we're done with you. Well, now you come back with a whole new petition, and they're going to go, oh my gosh, this is a completely different petition. And wow, this is, you know, this is another long argument of what's supposed to happen and what's not happening and what we need to do. And they're going to realize, wow, okay, so we're going to ignore this too. And then you come back with another one. And then each time you come back with a new petition and you say, what have you done regarding this? Oh, you've done nothing? You're still ignoring your job. Okay, what about this petition? And what you have to do is you have to have maybe a petition manager. Because like I said, you may have a central manager of managing all the petitions, but the petition manager may need to have a assignee to the petition to say, you have to go in, because they're going to play these games. They're going to deny you. They're going to abridge your rights, and you need to call them out every time that your rights are being abridged, because you're not giving them the adequate time to be able to discuss these First Amendment petitions. And the Constitution says, and the 14th Amendment says, no state can make or enforce any law that abridges your rights as U.S. citizens. And clearly, the right of petitioning government for the redress of grievances is a constitutional right. So they're violating your civil rights. But that being said, then you can go down this little path of what have you done regarding this, and get them all on the record that they've done nothing. Get them to a point where they won't even answer you. Get this on video. Get this on audio tape. I mean, silence is kind of, are they even in the room? Because you have to have some kind of evidence. So having this all on video is probably the most powerful medium. You want to actually start recording all of this. And you were going to find out that all of a sudden government does not want you recording them. Now, they were happy. As long as you're out in the streets burning down buildings and taking, you know, going after the deep pockets of Nike and the corporate world, they're okay with it. But when you get into their knickers and hold them accountable and demand that they do something that they're not willing to do, now you really got a good contention. This is resistance. And remember, I told you folks, you know, we have to do things, you know, for the good of our society, for the good of our government, for the good of our public service. We have to force them into certain behavior. We have to. If we don't, then it's our fault. If you haven't seen my first video to the county commissioners, then you really need to watch that, because I point out that we're the problem. When we start becoming succinct on demanding full constitutional compliance, and that we start bringing in issues, this amendment to the, you know, this petition to this petition to this petition, as we start going through, and that's what we're covering right now, is the strategies, all of these different petitions. We've been covering private property. We've covered the currency. There's a whole long list. We need your help to write these petitions. The more petitions we have, the more pummeling we can do with our public servants. Please, folks, think about this. If when we get 20 petitions, now when you step into this game, you can now use 20 blows against your politicians, your county commissioners. You can prove to the electorate with these just 20 blows, and we're going to have even more. As more people get on board with this, we need to get to a point where we have hundreds of petitions They need to understand that their life is being overwhelmed with unconstitutional government. We'll be right back after these promos.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so it comes to my attention that we have to really get our arms around this. You have to get your arms around this. I already have my arms around this. I already know the danger I'm in. The only reason I'm in danger is because there's not enough other people doing this. I would ask, if you've ever seen the movie Cry of Freedom, if you've ever seen it, then watch it again. If you've never seen it, you've got to see it. Because in this movie, it shows how Stéphane Bantu Biko, a activist for civil rights, for a liberal, or I should say a constitutional activist. I mean, he was very much like an American framer because he was standing up on the principles of fundamental rights. And he had the apartheid by the tail. There was nothing they could do. I mean, he was public enemy number one. And they realized this. And they ended up having to kill him in an interrogation room in September, in I think it was 1977. And so when we look at that movie, that's what happens when you have one antagonist, when you just have a couple of antagonists. But when all of a sudden this becomes a movement and you have multiple antagonists and this is spreading throughout the states, then now you've hit their radar. Right now, I'm just a buzz, nothing. I mean, you know, it's just distant buzz is all that's registering. But as we now start actually creating and hitting the news and this starts spreading, and this is great. I mean, I've kind of lived for this point. What we need to do is we need you to actually start acting. It's now time to start getting involved. We're going to be having our national phone calls coming up. Probably in the next month, as soon as we get past the real surge of the legislative season, I want to get these things started. We have people in a few states that are actually acting and doing things. We have current activity in two states. And so what we need to do, and this is a methodical process, And what I ask, and actually I need to remember to ask these guys in Wyoming, because they're the first ones actually doing the petitions. They didn't even care about going and getting signatures. I think they had 6 signatures. And so but we need to get more. We need to prove to them that this is not just, you know, we're not just antagonists. We are the public. We are the people. That we demand that they actually fulfill their oath of office. And so this is why when you take this petition to the people, if you find a person that can actually refute the legitimacy of these petitions, then okay, we need to fix that. But I'm telling you right now, I don't know anybody that can actually say or even point to anything that would legitimize, or I should say illegitimize, these petitions legitimately. That's the best way to say it. So they don't have a legal leg to stand on. They can't argue for the Constitution that the Constitution, you know, is not enumerated. They can't argue things that don't exist. They can't argue that Biden is king and he has the authority to do anything and everything, or that your governor is the prince and he can do anything and everything. No, we have a constitutional republic, and this is the rule of law. And these are the supreme laws of the state and of the land. And by doing this, my friends, we all become, you know, it becomes the movement. It's not about my face. It's not about, I don't even have a good face. I mean, I'd like to remain faceless. I'd like to actually just start going away, that, you know, people can actually start rising and doing these things. And this way, you know, this movement takes on its, because if you really think about it, there's very little I'm offering here. It's all out. It is all out. The only thing that I offer is, okay, now what do we do, you know, now that we've won? You know, always have an end in sight. And so what do we do with, you know, this constrained government again? Now that the federal government can't do all of these things, now what do we do? Well, I think that there's the natural course where the, you know, the state has to start figuring out how, you know, it can do things. But I think there are great kickstarts to absolutely getting the state. And that's why we're going through these strategies of some of the things that the states need to do, because we're kind of covering personal property rights. I think that's coming up. And let me just confirm here, because I've got it right here. Do we do the state property? Well, we kind of covered the state property rights and resources. So, yeah, we've done that. And then we're going to come into national security oversight. We're going to come into common law. We're going to come into defining terms and clauses, you know, very specific terms and clauses in the Constitution, like bills of attainder and punishment, ex post facto laws, petitions, you know, citizenship, those types of things. And then we go on and on and on with all sorts of subcategories and then additional constitutional issues that we don't even address. But all of these topics that we're covering within this strategy actually provides you with insights of over 100 petitions. In other words, violations of the Constitution that we need to be holding government accountable for. And so when we, you know, one of the things I need, and I've asked and I've tried to get Jacob Arlington, he, you know, when I met this guy, that was his number one issue, was representation. You know, and I've wanted to get this guy to actually stand up and take this, you know, this, create a petition in doing it. And if there's anything, you know, I'd love to have the guy have the credit for it, because he was one of the very few that found this one thing. Hey, we don't have proper representation in Congress. The Constitution says that one person in Congress can represent only up to 30,000 people. They cannot represent more. And they are. They're arbitrarily representing more. They're violating the Constitution. And we have every right to hold them accountable to that. And we have even proof, hard proof, that they can't change those numbers because James Madison said you have to amend the Constitution because he actually provided an amendment to change those numbers. And then now they believe that they can just get away with. No, no, no. We've let them get away with because we've been stupid. We didn't understand those things, but we have become smart. And now we're holding them accountable. Now let's get back to true representation and let's get Congress out of D.C. and home, at least our House of Representatives. We have the technology for them to work out of home. There's no reason for them to be in the swamp anymore. This is how you don't drain the swamp. Why drain the swamp? We displace the swamp. So all of these petitions, all of these actions, this is all a part of the strategy. Imagine as this starts happening in 10 states, in 12 states, in 15 states, once we get to this critical mass, and as a matter of fact, I think that we'll probably see before we get to 10 states, you know, seriously operating with these petitions, we will probably have legislation in some of the dark red states, like in South Dakota. We may actually have, you know, legislation in South Dakota either this year or next year that will commit them to basically pushing for republic review. And that will be a beautiful thing, folks, because now we have a state declaring to the state legislatures. In other words, we're kind of bypassing the people and then getting the people caught up later. You know, when God saved Israel, did he go in and he teach Israel everything that they needed to do and gave them the commandments and all of that? No, he bypassed them and he went and told Moses, Moses, you need to do this. And then Moses needed a little bit of help. He got Aaron and so forth. And he went off and did the miracles that, you know, he had to perform to free Israel, to help Israel. And then he took them through the wilderness. And they rejected, you know, the coming to the promised land. And so they said, okay, then this generation will not enter into that. Anyway, it was just... It's interesting how things work, folks. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm actually trying to work with both the, and not the necessarily the Mosaic teachings, you know, actually teaching the people. I'm actually trying to take the approach of more of Martin Luther, and Martin Luther basically working with, you know, local leaders, because our society is filled with different tiers of people. Our society has groups and group leaders. I mean, it's not everybody equal. That's not how we work. We actually all have leaders. We have people that, you know, spur things and take off on things and become point on something. That's what we need in your local community. And that's the people right now that we're working with are those leaders. Those people that say, you know, something is rotten in Denmark and I've got to do something about it. And everybody that has been listening to this show is one of those people. You've been listening to this show for a while now. So it's time, folks. It's now or never. And so when we come back tomorrow, we'll do a little Feedback Friday. And more importantly, we're going to go through more of the strategy. And I'm actually going to hit the strategy instead of talking about, because we kind of did a feedback on what's going on in Wyoming today. But anyway, and that's just because it's hot. We'll hit you up tomorrow with more strategy. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.